irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're glad you're here with us.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, now we're glad you're with us. Thanks for tuning in. We're so excited you're here. We want to wish you the happiest of New Year's. We hope it was safe and wonderful, and you're raring to go. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Now, I want to let you guys know about something, and it's not a secret, but it is pretty amazing. I want to let you know that the couples class for January 12th, that couples class, January 12th, has spot open. It's going to be a spot for two people. You can find out more about it at www.wantistore.com. By the way, the seating is super limited, so if you want to do it, get there now and sign up. I'm not sure when the next class after that will be for couples, but January 12th is the couples class, and it's a spot for a couple left. So check it out. Again, www.wantistore.com. And for information about other classes, you can surf there too. And for other information about Dr. Pat Allen, you can go to www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for that newsletter, and you'd know about all the upcoming stuff right away. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
I'm glad I'm live on the air. I'm glad I'm alive. Let's
How was your New Year?
It was really, really nice. It was very family, and I liked that, visiting each other and cooking lovely meals, and it was very, very nice. This was one of the best holiday seasons I've experienced.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. It's so nice to have family around and
yes,
friends that you consider family and that are family, so that's wonderful. Mine was the same, surrounded by family, and even got to Skype in with my granddaughter that's in California. So that was fun. Even though I missed her in person, I got to see her on Skype. So that was great. So we do have a few questions going on right now from some of our people out there in Facebook land, and I'm going to see if the switchboard has any calls for us. But as far as Facebook goes, we have a young lady who wants to know what it means if she sent the, as she says, holiday stroke and nothing came back.
She sent what kind of stroke?
She said she sent a New Year's, happy
oh,
New Year.
Oh, sent a ritual stroke to someone?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, it's either someone who died,
uh-huh,
or someone that did not want to be intimate or respond to it and avoided it.
Uh-huh.
So whatever the reason was, it was appropriate for the moment. Because that's the way reality is.
It is. It truly is.
Reality strokes are what I offer to people when they are not hearing from people, especially someone that you're romantically interested in. You don't hear from him or her, and therefore, this is a way to courtship-wise, send a funny or a sympathetic or something,
mm-hmm,
a note to somebody based on an experience like birthday or
mm-hmm
holiday, so that they can't say, she's chasing me or he's chasing me.
All right. That makes
it's
perfect
a ritual
sense.
Stroke.
Mm-hmm.
What?
It makes perfect sense.
But if they
sense
don't answer within 8 weeks, you're being rejected.
That's a rough one. That's a rough one. Okay, I believe we got some calls. Let's see what our wonderful Ronan has to say. All righty. Okay, we've got a caller getting on the line. Looks like.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. So I'm so interested that the hands that a person writes, so their dominant hands in men and how it affects their brain. And I was wondering, what about women and being left or right-handed? How does that affect a woman's brain?
It doesn't. All women have a larger corpus callosum, whereas for men, right-handed men have smaller corpus callosum. The corpus callosum is a fibrous bridge of flesh between the right lobe and the left lobe. And women, all women, right and left-handed, have a larger corpus callosum than especially right-handed men. And it's there for us to use as a bridge between our right lobe feelings or emotions and our left lobe thinking. What do I want? What do I don't want? But for men, it's I think or I feel. That's why right-handed men are very, very much more anchored in situations like police officers, soldiers, because they bifurcate the feelings and the thoughts, and they can focus and deal with things. Whereas women, for example, they're thinking of putting women on the front line in battle. That is a little bit more painfully distracting because a woman feels her way and thinks her way based on the fact that she blends thoughts and feelings together. And for that reason, it's more damaging when it's a painful thing. So I have created languaging which appeals to either the right lobe or the left lobe. That's my doctoral work, androgynous semantic realignment, so that you're communicating with the lobe that you want to communicate.
Okay, so it doesn't affect the woman's brain, if whatever hand she's dominant with.
Yeah.
Right, because physiologically women have this, right and left-handed women's corpus callosum is identical, where right and left-handed men's corpus callosum is quite different.
Okay, thank you. And then I had one more question.
Sure.
I was wondering for what your thoughts are on, my husband is a really rough sleeper, and I feel like I'd get a much better sleep if we were sleeping in different beds. And I was wondering what your thoughts, if you think I should try that, or if you don't recommend that, like, can you still maintain a healthy marriage if you sleep in separate beds?
There are some married people don't even live together. Being in the same bed after you're asleep is a non-informational thing, whereas going to sleep and negotiating how you do that is a very conscious experience. So if you and your husband talk about your feelings and needs and his feelings or his needs, hopefully you'll negotiate a compromise that may find that you go to your own bed after you know, he falls asleep or you're on the way to sleep, so that you get your full night's sleep, because it's important that you be able to dream and let your dreams fulminate, develop and go through stages.
Mm-hmm. I agree. and so you recommend just setting up an appointment and, you know,
yeah, setting up an appointment and then saying, I really want to, you know, negotiate a compromise with you, but what do you think about my ability after we are fallen asleep or on the way to sleep, if I go to my room and come back in the morning?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, that's great. There's, yeah, some teeth grinding going on, and I cannot sleep through it. So that's why I'm interested.
Well, my dad and my stepmother, they had a compromise because my dad is on an APAP machine, and it's quite loud. But he needs it, you know, to survive, to sleep. So what they do is they have snuggle time and movie time where they snuggle in bed. And then she has her own room and he has the, you know, his machine in the master bedroom. And she's got her little ladies' bedroom. And then every night, you know, they snuggle and watch TV and chit chat and have a, you know, popcorn and then whatever it is. And then she goes into her room and goes night night and he goes night night. And it's actually been better for them because she gets a better sleep and he gets better sleep. So it hasn't been negative at all.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your advice.
Thanks for calling.
Know, really, anything can be negotiated as long as your attitude is respectful and cherishing.
Right. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it was a great communication when my dad and my stepmom, you know, made that decision. You know, and it wasn't a hurtful thing. They just, you know, compromise, you know, they wanted to be together and snuggle and watch TV and, you know, but they both wanted a good night's sleep.
It's really interesting how people believe that there's a right ritual for every activity. And the truth of the matter is we generate intuitively and instinctively what's appropriate for that day and that moment.
I agree. And I remember watching, like, I Love Lucy, where they were in the same bedroom, but they were in separate beds. You know? Hi, caller. You're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi.
Hi, yes, I have a question. A man that was dating me has dumped me, broken up with me a couple of times over the past, I would say, like, months or so, but he continues to reach out
to me. Did he do it verbally, or did he ghost you?
He did it verbally, he did it in person, and it was quite abrupt the first time that he did it. He went from building a relationship with me and moving towards monogamy and a committed relationship and intercourse to saying that he doesn't want a relationship with anyone, and that he doesn't want a relationship with me. And then he took it back about a week later in person. And then about another week later, he dumped me again. And, we now, like, we don't live, he moved away. And we were supposed to be doing long distance and planning on living together again in the next couple of months. But he, has pretty much taken all that away for now and is constantly just trying to get me to reach out to him and be his friend. And he wants to talk all the time.
He
and
wants to
I'm
be
really
emotionally intimate without being physically intimate.
Yes, Yeah.
And that takes up your time. Are you interested in him as a friend only?
No, and I told him actually that that was going to be too difficult for me to continue for, like, you know, just to keep on that kind of interaction with him. And so then he said, okay, well, I won't contact you so much. Can I just contact you once a week? And I told him that's fine. I told him that he could contact me whenever he wants. I didn't put any limit on it, but I did say that it was too painful for me to continue speaking to him if we weren't going to have a relationship anymore, or if that wasn't going to be, if we had no more future. And so I just wanted to ask you, like, how do I navigate that with him? How do I continue to respond to him?
You draw your boundaries.
Okay.
My awareness of what goes on is, once you become lovers, you can't be friends, because the chemistry, if it's still going for one person, even one, is too frustrating. So you can be friends after you have a new lover.
Okay. And that's how I feel with him, because I'm so chemically bonded to him. We spent so much time together, and our relationship was really good, and I still don't understand what happened and why things happened so abruptly with him. But do you think that I should continue to speak to him when he reaches out to me, or should I now just stop that contact? Because I just feel like he'll continue to contact me, I don't know, for how long, and it doesn't feel like I can move on, or I have the space to be able to move on, because I want to be married.
It's a matter of how much energy you want to invest in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So how much do you want?
Well, I definitely want him, and he is still 51% valuable, but I do not want to be his friend, and I don't want to be seen as a friend for him. I want to still be seen as a potential wife for him, as potential fiance for him, and as a potential girlfriend for him. And I don't want to chase him, and I don't want to come out of my feminine role either.
Then perhaps what would be best is that you concentrate on replacing the romance. And after you replace the romance, maybe you can even double date if you're truly friends. In other words, meet he and his new person. But I can't see you doing that if you're still chemically bonded to him. Whatever's comfortable, you can do. But whatever's not comfortable is going to be very expensive for your energy system.
So then is it time for her? Is it time for her to start duty dating, Dr. Allen?
Absolutely. But it sounds maybe that she wants him. I hear her wanting him to come back, and remember, wanting is you being his mother or a man and wanting it your way. And he may not be interested in that anymore.
Right. So because I've written my hi bye letter, and like I said, I don't reach out to him, and I don't try to make him do anything that he doesn't want to do. I still let him lead, and decide for certain things, but I do tell him what doesn't feel good to me and what I don't feel comfortable with. But I just wanted to know if he continues to reach out to me, even after I stop contact with him, can I stop responding to him, or is that also not going to be great? Because at this point, like I said, he continues to reach out, and I don't want to invest in a friendship with him for the future that's not what I want for him. I don't think I can handle that.
Let him know.
I did. I did.
And he took it, or he didn't?
Well, he went to, well, how many times a week can I contact you? How much are you comfortable with? And that's when I said, well, I'm comfortable right now with speaking to you because things are so abrupt, and there was a lot that we still needed to figure out, so I couldn't just stop talking to him. And so I just told him that I would let him know in the future when it was too much for me and I didn't want to know. I no longer wanted to speak with him anymore.
Okay, so you set your boundaries.
Yeah, so at this point, I just wanted to know how much longer should I do that? I mean, it just comes down to how
that
I feel.
That has to
but
do
I'm...
with your instinct, your feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want because it doesn't feel good. Men mm-hmm. get what they want because they intuitively want it, you know, intellectually want it, and they're willing to hunt it down. So he likes parts of you, but they don't sound romantic. And you say you're still bonded to him, which is a waste of your energy and time. And therefore, you must decide, do you want to not see him or have answered or what's your comfort zone?
Well, my comfort zone right now is the once a week is okay because it was still just painful not hearing his voice and not speaking to him because we were usually together every single day. And the intimacy also too, that's gone because we were about to enter into intercourse before he put up so many roadblocks and stopped everything. And we were very affectionate and very intimate. So for me right now, like once a week, I guess is okay, even though that's kind of painful because I love just speaking to him every single day because we had an active relationship all the time. And we worked together also. So I guess for right now, like once a week is okay, but he did change the way that he speaks to me. And that's when I also too had to tell him that I didn't want to speak to him that much more in the future because he started to just use different words with me just overnight. And it was just very shocking to my system and very hurtful. And like you said, in taking the romance out of things, after like building quite a bit with me and being very intimate with me. So I don't know at this point, how much longer I can sustain just even speaking to him once in a while.
You're in control of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's how much time do you want to invest? That's all you have is time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And even if he's still reaching out to me, how do I start the 8 weeks to be able to send him the hi-bye letter if he still reaches out to me? Because
you've already done the hi-bye verbally. You see? There is no time that he is leaving you alone.
Okay.
You are romantically interested in him, but he is apparently not romantically interested in you.
Okay. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter if I send him the hi-bye letter or not within the 8 weeks.
The hi-bye letter.
You don't think that'll change?
There is no space. He's not giving you space to create new venues. So you've got to decide how much energy you want to invest in this friendship. So how much do you?
I don't want to invest any time in a friendship with him, actually.
Then that's
I really
what you
don't
say to him.
Okay.
I have too many feelings for you to be your friend, and therefore I am not going to respond to your calls, your texts, but I want you to know the reason why.
Okay.
And it is that I have too many feelings for you to be your friend.
Okay.
When I have replaced you, remember what you said about he changed the way he spoke?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
That's what you have to do. Change the way you speak. Which is,
okay,
I cannot do a romance relationship without romance. And you apparently have fallen out of love with me, and you have a right to. but I have a right to not subject myself to the pain and frustration of being with somebody I have romantic feelings for when my partner doesn't. Therefore, I do not want to relate to you until I have replaced you.
Okay, and so then, like, because I'm saying things verbally as a high buy, so if he, for example, after I say that to him, he doesn't reach back out to me for 8 weeks, I don't need to send him a written high buy letter.
No, because you've got to say goodbye now.
Okay. And if he does come back around?
Mm-hmm. What?
And if he does, if he does ever come back around and wants to pursue a romantic relationship with me,
you decide if you want to take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
These are all personal intimacy decisions.
Right. But I'm sorry. What were you saying about the high buy letter that?
The high buy letter is for an overview of the relationship. Because your partner is not reaching out to you.
Right.
And it's signaling that person that you're still emotionally involved. Oftentimes, the dumper regrets doing it and is afraid of your anger for having done it. So by sending him a high buy letter because he's not reaching out, he's done, you are basically signaling him that you're still available.
Right.
But this man wants you as a friend, even if he doesn't want you as a romance. So you have to limit his energy picking. Otherwise, you're in a constant state of frustration.
Right. Yeah. That's how it's felt now for about a little bit over a month. It's been very frustrating. I just really don't know what I did to change.
It may be a lesson. He may have learned something about himself. You can't assume responsibility for doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He may be in a new place in his life and wanting to experience it, but doesn't want to lose you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the breakup did come with him losing the job that we had together, and then he moved back home out of the country, but and he had that same job for about 4 years. And so he just kind of broke up with me in the event that that was happening. But we had been building towards working together and then being with each other, even despite him losing this position that I still have. So that was the part that was really confusing to me, even though it was a really big life event that prompted what I feel his separation from me, too. And not wanting to pursue that anymore. But I asked him what happened and what was wrong. And he just, there's nothing bad. He has nothing bad to say about us. He has nothing bad to say about me. And there's only good things to say. So that's the part that feels very disconcerting and confusing for me.
His goal for a relationship may have changed. He may have redesigned his goal.
Okay.
Well, let us know. So, thanks, caller. We're going to have to move on.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. We've got some more callers waiting. And so our wonderful Rona is going to put them.
Hello.
Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I wanted to ask about, I have someone who I went on two dates with, who after the two dates, maybe like 4 or 5 days out, said that I wasn't calling him enough, and essentially kind of gave me a good luck. And then a week later, he called again. Well, he texted again to see how I was doing. And he reiterated, you're just not reaching out to me enough. I was reaching out to you every day, but you never reached out. And I'm wondering, I've heard Dr. Pat say in the past that she had someone she was seeing at one point who had said, you know, please call me every day at a certain time. And I'm wondering if it's okay if someone complains so much about not hearing from me that on account of they asking me to reach out and say good morning, if it's okay, or is that a red flag
that they want to be pursued? Okay. If he's leading you, in other words, when a man says, I want you to call me every morning, that's not your
right.
idea. That's you being female and doing what he
okay.
asked. So I have no problem with that. Do you have a problem with it?
Well, my fear is that this is somebody who wants to be pursued and that's how they're, you know, and that like eventually, yeah, I have a little bit of a fear that if I start doing it, then all of a sudden I'm in the pursuit.
You ask him, when is it convenient? I don't want to call you and have you busy and then end up rejecting me. So,
right.
Between 9 and 10, ask for boundaries or for directions as to what he wants. And if
he asked for a good morning. I remember him saying good morning. I mean, he was complaining generally
right.
that I wasn't reaching out, but and then he said specifically good morning. So I figured the good morning would be a good one because that's specific and that's in the morning.
It needs to be specifically designed. If he says
okay.
something like call me when you want to call me, that's
yeah.
when you say I don't call men unless I'm in a committed relationship. But if
right.
you want me to call you and you tell me you want me to call you at a certain time in the day, I will do that because it's your idea.
Great. Well, it's
and if
interesting
he
you're
says
saying this
back
because
to you, well, why can't you want me? Why can't you call me? Because you want me. And then you say, because I don't want to be the leader in this relationship. I don't want it. I don't want to be the man. I'm a girl and I want to be courted. I want to be cherished. And I will definitely call you and share with you when we're committed to a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship.
Okay. I did have, this seems to be a pattern with me because I did have another situation where someone had said to me, this is someone I'm doing the 8 weeks with. So I haven't spoken to them in a while, but before they went away for their 8 weeks, they had said to me, text me. I think it's like before, like at the end of our very last date, he was like, why don't you text me? And I said exactly what you said. I said, when do you want me to text me? And he said, whenever you're thinking of me, which of course was too broad. And I think I texted
yes.
him once that week. But it's not a good sign when they don't want to give you like a specific parameter, according to what you're saying.
No, what they want is for you to be their mother. That's Wendy
right.
and Peter Pan.
Right.
Now, if you want
okay.
to be Wendy and you want
I don't.
To pursue him, if you don't want it, then you've got to make sure that the job he's giving you is one you're comfortable with. You know, call me and wish me good morning. is fine as long as you're comfortable with that and he's comfortable with knowing that he's got you to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, this is someone I'd only had two dates with. By no means are we talking about exclusivity. In both cases, these are people where we didn't even get to the exclusivity stage, and they're both asking me to reach out more often, and both complaining that I don't reach out enough. Which, I just wanted to know. I mean, of course, my instinct was, you want to be pursued in both cases. But I just
that
wanted to check.
That depends on if he's willing to tell you when he wants you to call.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for this clarification.
Sure.
I'll leave space for other callers.
Good
and thank
luck.
You very much.
Good luck. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Excellent. That's very interesting. I love that way you broke that parameter down for us, whether, you know, if he's specific, then, you know, call me in the morning, say good morning.
Hello.
I love that.
Yeah.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. I'm wondering what you think about a man who says, I'm not going to teach you how to love me.
I think that's fine. What he's saying is, I want you to create your love the way you want it. I'm sure that if he doesn't like it, he'll let you know. But what he's saying is, I don't want to control you enough to teach you how to love me. Love me the way you're comfortable, and I'll tell you when I'm not comfortable.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Wow.
You're welcome.
I'm surprised. Okay. Can I ask you another?
What's surprising?
I thought it meant that he wanted me to guess and figure it out and know what he needs, and that it's
that,
never happened.
That would show up in anger. There, you're
okay.
Bringing up the four signs of a poor negotiator. One is evasive. The second one is secretiveness. I want mm-hmm. you to design your program for loving me. Well, mm-hmm. as long as he appreciates it and accepts it, that's fine.
Okay.
But if he doesn't
yeah.
like it, he wants
yeah.
mind reading, and that's not fine. And the third
right.
one is condescension. Oh, you women.
Right.
And the fourth one is abrupt. Yes, no, go away, I'm leaving. It's cryptic because when you're frustrated, you generally are not very affectionate. So
mm-hmm.
you and I don't know if he is really saying, love me your way, or he's saying, mind read me and love me my way.
Right.
In which case,
when
he wants
him-
you to mother him. What?
When I ask him for clarification about what he needs, that's his response. I'm not going to teach you how to love me. So,
his
but
response
I don't,
was what?
I don't think the poor negotiation examples you just gave are not present. Are not part of how he relates to me.
Okay.
That? Yeah.
So you think he wants you to mother him?
No. But I think, I mean, like, not conceptually, he balks at that, but I think he's got such a strong relationship to his mother that I feel like that's the standard.
I got it. Okay. But if it's comfortable for you, is it comfortable for you to do it?
It's comfortable for me to love him the way I do.
And would you classify it as overdoing it or what?
Yeah, it does. It's been a long-term relationship, and my tendency is to listen too much. and have no boundaries around what I take in. So I have overdone it in that sense, in terms of the balance.
Are you
of
giving up giving any away. Of your rights? Are you
Probably.
Being honest with him?
Being honest with him?
Are you, Wendy, doing things to impact him into being dependent upon you? Are you mothering him?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Your patterns must fit. You must be satisfied. How long have you dated him?
4 years.
Well, I would dare say whatever you're doing, it's working. So apparently you're compatible in your creativity of loving one another, which is really nice.
Say again?
Which is nice. You fit together.
Right. the challenge now, may I ask you one more question?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. The challenge now is that it's become long distance. He needed to for where he is in his life, he needed to move somewhere else, and he's not committing to having me come visit him, even though he says he wants that. But it's not happening.
Well, and what you're waiting for is for him to pay for the trip?
He wants to. I've told him I'm happy to pay for it, and he still won't commit to when.
Why are you happy to pay for it if he's wanting to give it to you?
No, I'm it's just because is that something I can do to make this easier? Because I don't understand what the holdup is for making a plan.
What is the holdup? What is he not doing?
Making a plan for when I can come visit him, saying come this date.
So you're taking over and designing the plans and paying for it and going to visit him?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying. I am trying to be direct about. I'm ready to come visit you. When would you like me to come? And he keeps putting off that conversation.
So it sounds like passive aggressive.
Right. Yep. Yep. He wants to be in control of bringing
of
me
receiving,
there.
Of receiving.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
You're saying, no, it's not in my budget. No. So you're in a duel.
I'm not sure we're on the same page exactly. He's willing to pay for it, but he's not showing up. He's not making a plan for when it can happen. So...
Are you asking him when he wants to do it?
Yes. Yes.
And he's not answering you.
Right. He says, oh, I don't know. Oh, I'll have to, you know, look at my schedule. Oh.
Well, what it sounds like is he wants you to generate a want within yourself and mother him. So don't do it or do it. Which would you prefer?
A want within myself and mother him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So do you want to chase him?
Chase him?
Chase him because he's saying, I want you to come and see me, but you're saying when, and he's saying, I don't know.
Right.
So you're being molded into Wendy.
Okay.
And you're resisting it. But is that okay with you?
Yeah, I don't want to be a Wendy. It is a pattern of mine to be attracted to Peter Pan.
Okay, so what we've done is circled around and we ended up with Wendy and Peter Pan.
Yeah.
So continue to be a woman who wants to be cherished and see where he takes it, if
okay.
at all.
Right. Thank you.
And
thank you,
don't
caller.
Forget you can use the tools.
I can I can use the tool.
Make an appointment to tell him your true feelings.
Okay.
Do you know the tools?
I don't know the tools.
Oh, Dr. Allen, give us the tools.
These tools are, I'm a transactional analyst.
Right.
I use words to manipulate energy.
Okay.
So let's say you want to find out when he wants you to come, and
okay.
you're willing to have him pay for the trip as a courtship gift.
Yep.
So with that in mind, you would say to him, honey, whatever you call him, honey,
yep.
I have a question I want to ask you about us and our visits. Would
okay.
it be convenient for you to hear me today, perhaps? What would he say? You be him.
Yeah, but tell me what's going on.
Okay. Then you would say, I really appreciate that you say you want me to come and see you, and you're even willing to pay to have me do it, which fits my budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not comfortable with knowing when you want this to happen. What would he say?
Wow. I think it would touch his heart. It's like it's touching mine.
Okay, so what would he say? I want you to decide when you want to come and see me.
I don't know what he would say to that.
Well, do you want to bring it up and ask him and find out when he wants you to come and visit?
Right. So I say I'm uncomfortable not knowing when you want to come me to come visit.
Yes, that's
okay.
If he says, yes, I want to hear your feelings about the visit.
Right, right.
So you would tell him you're uncomfortable designing the date.
Well, I'm uncomfortable not knowing when it's going to happen.
That's what I mean.
Okay. So you're saying I'm uncomfortable, or the language is I'm uncomfortable designing the date?
Well, because if he doesn't respond, that's where you're stuck right now.
Right.
He says, I want you to come and visit. And then you say, I'm willing to even pay for my coming to visit.
Right.
But he doesn't say when or how. But he
yep.
did say he'd be willing to pay for the ticket. So
yep.
that's something.
Right.
So are
okay.
you willing to confront him to find out?
Yes. I mean, I'm willing. No, there's no lack of willingness to confront, but the way you just said it sounds much more neutral and kind and loving than
yes,
I've
it does.
Ever
it's
done.
Called respect.
Yeah.
See, being mad at him for not doing it right is mothering him.
Right.
That's Wendy.
Huh. Okay.
Does
okay.
your mom, are your mom and your dad still together?
Mine, no. Mm-mm.
So they're divorced?
Yes. Yes, my whole
Did
life.
Did you ever see them communicate?
Minimally, you know, minimally.
Okay.
Not,
well, then that's what I'm showing you. So the
okay.
first tool is make an appointment, you know, with the
okay.
content. You have an idea. The second tool is basically, that's the tool. The first tool is don't ask him what he feels about your design because he wants you to design it. The second tool
okay.
is making an appointment to find out what his design is. The third tool is I'm not comfortable designing this trip that you want me to take. You've asked me, but you won't tell me how and when you want to do it.
Right.
So will you consider doing that? And the
Absolutely.
Fourth tool is body language.
Okay.
Facial expressions, gestures, postures, they speak much of the time, but they don't have words, so you can't negotiate contracts. You can just pick up feelings.
Right.
So when you see a body language, I sense by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, that you're upset about this discussion about me coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Hopefully he'll say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, what can I do to help us do better?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fifth tool is timeout, that signal that the referee gets. Timeout,
right.
Which stops the game. So are you willing to negotiate, not intimidate, and not seduce him into
mm-hmm.
telling you just negotiate using these tools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep. Wow.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you. Alrighty. Let us know what happens.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. Bye-bye.
Bye. I want to remind everybody again, a spot for a couple left in the January 12th couples class at www.wantistore.com. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go tonight?
What I've got to say is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Indeed. All right, everyone. Good night. Happy New Year. You know how to find us. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care. Peace.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.